The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Well, good morning, guys. It's a pleasure to be with you. Let's start by praying to our great God. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this church body. Thank you for these men. But most of all, we're thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for opening blind eyes. Thank you for giving us a hope that can't be taken away. I pray that you'll open more blind eyes even today. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit. I pray that your Spirit will be with us. I pray that your Spirit will move mightily among us. Help me, Lord. Help me with my words. Help me to glorify your Son and to edify these men. Help us to grow together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So to start out, have you guys ever wondered, how in the world did I get here? How did I get to Grace Community Church on Saturday morning? I'm not talking about, like, how did my vehicle make it here? I'm talking about how in God's great plan did you end up in this place? How in God's great plan do you come home and many of you see a loving wife and kids? How in the world, in God's great plan, do you come to Grace Community Church on Sunday and go, this is my joy. This is my life. You guys know how that happened, right? It was by the grace of God. This is not of your own doing. So I want to start by just publicly giving praise to the God who opens eyes, the eyes of the blind. And I also just want to thank you guys. There's so many places you guys could be on a beautiful Saturday summer morning. But it encourages my heart and encourages the pastor's hearts for you guys to make it a habit of being here. And it's Pastor Daniel and I talked about it a while back. You guys are such a joy to preach to. It's such a joy to be looking at your eyes and be like, I'm tracking with you, brother. Even though you're fumbling and you're stumbling with your words, I'm tracking with you. And it's just such a joy to be with you today. I also want to give praise to God for the way He uses people. The way He uses the weakest of among us, the weakest of believers, for His kingdom work. And that's just His pattern, isn't it? That's the way He works. He uses the stuttering Moses. He uses the David, the one that keeps on falling down. He uses the weakest of among us. Why? Because it glorifies His Son. It glorifies Him to go, I want you guys, you weak people, to look at Christ. So let's do that together today. As a way of introduction, I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Reformed church. And yet, I was one of those kids that as soon as somebody started talking doctrine, my eyes would just glaze over. And it was like, oh, great. Again, we're really going to talk about the 5 points of Calvinism again. We're really going to talk about justification again. We're going to talk about the solas, the banners up there again. And while I could probably pass like a baptism and membership interview, an exam like we did last Saturday, my eyes were just not open. There was no joy. There was no looking at that and saying, this is meaningful. Then the Lord did something wonderful for me that He's done with you guys, many of you. He opened blind eyes. He changed my heart. He changed my life. And these doctrines, one of which we're going to be talking about today, Sola Deo Gloria, so meaningful. So these words that I used to despise, or not despise, but it was just neutral, like justification, redemption, glorification. Now all of a sudden it's like, this is my heartbeat. This is your heartbeat. This is what I love. So doctrine, when I was first saved, our pastor said, the doctrine in a saved man brings about the greatest joy. Do you guys believe that? It changes a man. He changes us and turns everything upside down. What he spends his money on, what he loves, who he loves, and even what we're going to be talking today, how we work. So what's the goal of today? So actually yesterday I got a job duty statement. So what is a Christian man's job duty statement? What is in there? So what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But sometimes that's kind of fuzzy, isn't it? It's like, how do we actually glorify God? How do we do this? So we're going to talk about how God meshes that whole concept of that main banner, that heartbeat of the Reformation, Sola Deo Gloria, how that meshes perfectly with all aspects of life, including how we work. It's a game changer for guys like you and guys like me. So in 1 Corinthians 10:31 it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So what's this idea of glory mean? What does it mean? Glory has the meaning of weightiness, greatness, making much of God, putting God first. So how does this impact how we work? So I have to ask the question, is there a difference in secular and sacred occupations as far as how we glorify God? What glorifies God more, being a pastor or a preacher or a missionary or shoveling horse manure? What do you guys think? Can you be a janitor and do that work for the glory of God? How about digging a ditch? How about glorifying God by busting a deer poacher? Is that legit? Adam, I'm still trying to, a little confused about writing people tickets for the glory of God. Especially like 10 miles that over. But it's awesome that one of the founders of the Reformation, Luther, to look at how this transitioned through history. And Luther, as you guys know, was an ordained priest in the Roman Catholic Church. And it was taught back then that there was a distinction, there was a hierarchy between sacred and secular work. By God's grace, Luther's like, I'm going to check that ordination. I'm going to check that vow of celibacy out the window. And I'm going to marry an ex nun, and we're going to be married for the glory of God. And I'm going to glorify God in my marriage. And I'm actually going to glorify God in everybody has dignity. There's dignity in work. And so he changed a lot. He changed the mindset of what work is. So he talked about sola deo gloria while recreating and even drinking beer for God's glory. He said that all workers, even those doing the most mundane tasks, deserve honor. Mundane tasks. How about changing a blowout diaper? Can you do that for the glory of God? So thankful my wife got most of the glory for that. There's dignity there, honey. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. How do we do this? How do we glorify God in our work? I think sometimes today we still have, even in this church, we have this distinction of secular and sacred. So in the young men's Sunday school class, we talked about work and how to do that for God's glory. And we talked about bringing home a paycheck. And all the young men were like, yeah, you can glorify God. Kind of like the Sunday school answer. You can glorify God by getting a paycheck and then giving it to the church. Giving some of it to the church or finding someone in need and giving it to someone in need. Not one of them said, you know what? You can glorify God by getting a paycheck, giving it to your wife, and having her go buy diapers or milk at Costco. Is it glorifying to God to actually do that? Just the most mundane things? Absolutely. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Proverbs 28:19 says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. So it glorifies God to have plenty of bread. And then in Ephesians 4:28, Paul says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So, let's talk a little bit about a Christian man glorifying God joyfully and thankfully. You guys think it's true that Christians should be the most joyful people on the face of the planet? Absolutely. Why? Shout it out. Why do you think we should be the most joyful people on the face of the planet? We're redeemed. We've been bought. What else? Grace. Grace upon grace. Amen. Mercy. So thankful for mercy. Because we have Christ Jesus. He is for us. Our Savior is for us. And as Pastor Daniel talked about last time, He's our protector. He protects us and helps us. What else? Our holiness? Our hope. Yeah, amen. Our hope is unfading. So if that's true, that we should be the most joyful people, has it been your experience that sometimes the coworkers that claim to be Christians are often the most grumpy? Have you ever seen that? I remember we'd pair up and everybody was like so relieved to not have to be paired up with this guy. And he claimed to be a Christian. And he was just a grouch. He was grumpy. He was just always complaining. I am so thankful for Pastor Brian's teaching through Ecclesiastes. Who's listened to that as it applies to work? It's a complete game changer. It answers so many of the questions that I've had since I was a little boy. Just like, you remember when you're 14, 15 years old and you're like grinding away. It's like, okay, I'm getting up and I got to dig a ditch today. And then you think, wait, I'm going to be working for 40 or 50 more years. Just like, it can just be kind of disheartening. It's like the grind, that as I was the hamster wheel, like, okay, I get a paycheck, I spend it, get a paycheck, spend it. But Ecclesiastes, and especially Pastor Brian's preaching through it, it adds so much clarity to this. And by the way, he's doing a book on Ecclesiastes. And I'm so thankful that he's... How is he doing with that, Daniel? Okay. I'll just read a couple passages from Ecclesiastes to kind of prove my point. I perceived that there is nothing better... Get that. Nothing better for them to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is a gift to man. And Ecclesiastes 5:18, behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in what? In all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. This is his lot. Who ordained this? God did this. God ordained that we should work. God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be workers. We're going to talk next about working hard for the glory of God. I think that as I was preparing this, it's like, what could we do? Get together and say, okay, you guys need to work hard for God's glory. Everybody get in a circle. Break! But there's so much to this. There's so much to working hard for the glory of God. So what does this look like? It means growing in your skill set. Proverbs 22 says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So growing in your skill set and saying, I'm going to learn new things. I'm not content with where I am right now. I'm going to actually step out of my comfort zone and learn, in my case, like, how do I write a search warrant? How do I get better at this job? Why? For the glory of God. You want to make Him look good. Because He is good. So when you do work hard, what is likely to happen? Oftentimes you're going to get praised. You're going to get promoted like Joseph did. So what happens then? You pop your chest like LeBron James and be like, so glad that you guys have me here. Be a Christian man at work by being a glory reflector. Listen to what it says in Acts. And the context of this is when Paul healed a man. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying in Laconian, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men, pointing to Paul and Barnabas. What is Paul's response? Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring good news to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. So what did Paul do? He immediately just used this as an opportunity. Like, I'm a man. Don't look at me. I want you to look at the Savior of souls. I'm glad Chad's not here because this would super embarrass him. My brother Chad, we were on this show called Wild Justice, and it kind of highlighted game wardens. And so Chad made a dynamite case, and after which they kind of had him. They call it a hero shot. So he had like this waterfall in the background, and they. And he's standing there, and they're asking him, so how do you feel about this case? What did Chad do? He was a glory reflector. He immediately said, I don't exactly know what you want me to say. I give glory to God. He gave me this job. He wired my brain so I could do it. He was the one that orchestrated all the details so I could catch these guys. And they looked at him and like, oh, I'm not so sure I want to put that on Hollywood TV. Okay. A Christian man can glorify God by remembering the gospel at work. Remember who you were and who you are now. We forget, don't we? We forget the slum. We forget the gutter. We forget sometimes where we were and how we were running that hellbound race. And God plucked us out. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. How does that help us at work? How does it help us when we're looking at coworkers that are blaspheming God's name? How does it help us when we look at a coworker that's lazy and is stealing time? What do you guys think? How does it help? As such were some of you. That's who I was. How about a liar? Such were some of you. So it helps you have compassion on people at work. It helps you to remember, I don't expect a ton out of this dude because that's who I once was too. And God needs to open his eyes. And God can do that work because he's opened mine. Let's transition to being a prayerful worker. So are you self-sufficient or dependent upon God at work? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. So do you guys do that at work? Pray for success? Lord, help me today. Help my team that I'm working with to do well. Help us to excel. Help us to make the boss money. Also being prayerful, a prayerful worker. Because without God, what we are going to do is vain. It says in Proverbs says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. How about praying for co-workers' salvation? Be glorified in saving, fill in the blank. Please save this guy. Does God answer those prayers? He does. I was talking to Barrett. It could be, he could save those people rapidly, or it could take 5, 6, 7 years. But be praying for coworkers. How about be a team player at work for the glory of God? Work and love your colleagues. It says in 1 Corinthians 16, let all that you do be done in love. So what do your coworkers say behind your back? Are you the Christian that no one wants to work with? Are you so far isolated and say, you know what? I want to be... The Scripture talks about us being set apart. Set apart, being holy. But are we so set apart that we're not willing to get in and mingle and work as a team with our coworkers? So are you a lone wolf? It's like, I can't handle these people. I got to do this solo. So the question is, and what we need to wrestle with, is how do we live in this world, yet not live of this world? So who are you really working for? Who's your boss? Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So you guys might be thinking, I know personally, and I know I don't want to point them out, but I know there's people in this room right now that are working for their boss is incompetent. Their boss may be a jerk. So what happens with that? Can you give God the glory when your boss is an incompetent jerk? It says in 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough when you get a plan from a supervisor and you're scratching your head and like, this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard of. You want us to do what? So what normally happens with that? What normally happens when your boss is a jerk? I know enough about life to know what happens. You buddy up with somebody and they're talking about how lame your boss is. And they're saying, this is crazy. Can you believe what he said? This person has no experience. This person should not be leading. This person was a game warden for 1 year, and now they're my supervisor. So what is the tendency? The tendency is to run our mouths and to listen and participate in gossip, isn't it? You can glorify God by using our words. says in Ephesians 4:29, don't gossip. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So have you guys ever been guilty of that? Been guilty of talking about a coworker or a boss behind their back? Have you ever caught yourself as a Christian going, I did that. I mean, and you justify it by saying, man, it was true. This person is this way. They're not. That doesn't give us an out. So can we glorify God in our workplaces by actually being humble and going to that person that you gossiped with and going, brother, what I said about the boss was completely out of line. As a Christian, I should not have done that. You please forgive me for that. And help me with it. If I start doing it again, stop me. You think that would impact my coworker? You think they've ever heard that before? When's the last time at work you go, you know what, that was a bad call that I did. That was a mistake on how I handled this situation. That interview that I just had with that suspect, I blew chunks on that. Being humble enough to glorify God by saying, I don't have it all together. God uses a humble man in marvelous ways. I remember my coworker, there were times where I talked to him about the gospel, and then I would say something that was not edifying, and I would talk to him and go, Dave, that was out of line. Please forgive me for that. And then you're like, man, everything that I've said about Christianity, about Christ, he's going to think that I'm a complete hypocrite. Like, really? You're a Christian and you sat there and badmouthed him? Well, that same guy later on ended up talking about going to church. And he said, the Christians that I know are the most genuine people that I've ever met. So, to God be the glory. He can use a fouled up mess to bring himself glory. How about working an honest day for the glory of God? Don't cheat your employers or others. Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So how many of you have cheated your employer? Have I? So what do you do about it? You go to your boss and say, on July 14th, I shorted you and I cheated you. That's up to your conscience, guys. It may mean that. It may mean that, but it could also mean that you show up early and you leave late. It could be that you're charging only 8 hours when you actually work 9. You're rounding down for expenses rather than rounding up. Saying, I don't want to cheat my boss. I want to glorify God by working a solid day's work. How many of you have worked a really difficult job, like a job where you're sweating? I don't know what it is about it. I think there's something wonderful. I think it's a gift of God that after that long day of work, you take a shower, and then there's as Luther would say, there's dignity in what you did. It's like, I busted hump today. I busted my tail, and I worked a solid day's work. And I'm going to give God glory for that. How about speaking the gospel to our colleagues? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us." Listen to this. "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." That's a tough balance. But God gives us timing. He gives us opportunities, doesn't He? I don't think it's glorifying to God to evangelize when you should be working. But guess what? There's time where you're commuting. There's times when someone goes, "Man, look at these mountains. Isn't it pretty?" He's handing you an opportunity. I know the God that made those mountains. And you know what? He knows me. So there's opportunities, and be praying for opportunities to share the gospel. I promise I'm not going to go as long as I did last time. So we're winding down, guys. Let's talk a little bit about choosing occupations. So Luther, as we talked about whether you're a janitor or a pastor, you can still glorify God at work. So how does that play out for us? How does it play out? So if a guy is flipping burgers at Mickey D's and he's like, "I'm glorifying God and doing what I'm doing." Do you ever go from that? When do you know, okay, you know what? It's time for me to put my big boy pants on and actually do something different. So are we using and developing gifts and talents for the glory of God? So how do we know? How do we know what to do? How do you young men know what to do for work? Like, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to study at college? Be planning, be preparing, be praying, be thinking long term. And one thing that young men aren't very good at is asking. When's the last time you asked your mom and dad, "Hey, what do you think? What do you think that I'm good at? What do you think I should do?" Hey, mom and dad, how can I use my gifts and talents for His glory? How do you think that I'm gifted? So if I promote, change jobs, retire, we can do as 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." All right. Now we're going to get into some metal in here. Not like heavy metal, but meddling. How about work at church? Like, wait a second. Wait a cotton picking second here. Sunday is supposed to be a day of rest. And you're telling me I should work? Why is it that this is going to be kind of sound a little bit judgy? Why is it that the people that are most successful and the hardest driving people sometimes in their Monday through Friday jobs, they come to church? And they're like, "Feed me. Serve me. how can you bless me today? Instead of being glorifying God by coming to church and saying, Lord, use me today. Use me in conversations. Use me to look and find people's needs and try to meet that. Help me to be a worker at church for your glory and for your kingdom. So how does that play out? How do you know what to do? Some of you might be here and be like, I have no idea how to serve in this church. We don't have like committees that say, all right, come to this committee and we'll figure out how to do janitorial work. And we can plug you in here. You can ask. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you're... I had a captain do this once. We were doing a search warrant and my mind was all over the place just trying to figure this out. Who's going to interview the suspect? Who's going to collect evidence? Who's going to take the dude to jail? And my captain came up to me and goes, how can I help you? And it was like triple take. I've never had a boss say that. So how about coming up to, even, it doesn't have to be an officer. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be a deacon. How about coming up to someone who is actually working and going, how can I help? How can I serve this body? Let's talk a little bit about teaching kids how to work in 2 minutes. And I struggle with this. I struggle with this fence. Like, I have a tendency to be like that Egyptian taskmaster with the whip, like, let's go! We have 20 minutes to do this task, and it's not going to get done by... We have to get after it. And then there's the other side of the fence that's like Mr. Rogers. Like, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And so can't we all just kind of get along? So there's a balance, and it's hard to strike that balance. But if you dads aren't teaching your kids how to work, and if you kids aren't learning how to work, is that bringing God glory? And also as dads, one way to not go to that Egyptian taskmaster side is be a thankful dad. Those of you who are bosses, be a thankful boss. Recognize their work. Recognize, you know what? Spur, you just busted tail 20 minutes pulling weeds. So, anyway, just having a thankful heart towards people. So in conclusion, where do we go from here? What do we do when we fall short? What do we do when we're lacking motivation to work? What do we do when no one appreciates our work? What do we do when we say, holy smokes, it's Tuesday. I'm exhausted. And I am making my lunch, getting my coffee going for the next day. And you're like, this is going to last for a while. Let's circle back to what we started with. Let's circle back to the ultimate motivation for our Christian walk. Let's circle back to Christ. Let's circle back to the one who rescued us. And it could be as simple as in your foggy brain on that Wednesday morning, I have a long day ahead of me. Could you glorify God by going, today I'm going to serve Jesus. Today I'm going to work for Him. Why? He rescued me. He ordained this. This is a gift. And I'm going to do it for His glory. But I also think it's important to remember this grind isn't forever. This grind that we're in, even it's a gift from God, but it's hard. We need to remember that we have an inheritance waiting for us. It says in 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Listen to this. "To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." This world's not our home, guys. We're passing through. Christ has prepared a place for us where there is an inheritance that is Him. That's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. But until that day when the Lord calls us home and says, "Elliot, it's your last day to work on this earth." Until that day, let's keep grinding. Let's keep looking to our Savior for motivation. And let's keep glorifying the God who rescued our souls. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for this time together. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You for the grace and mercy that You've showered to us. I pray that we'll glorify You in all aspects of life. Forgive us when we have not done that. Forgive us for living for our own glory. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our lives. Help us to lay our own selfish ambitions down and help us to glorify You in all that we say and do. In Christ's name, amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.